You're listening to 4FM.
So I was thinking about getting some Botox, but I want to keep a natural look. What would you do?
Oh, I wouldn't do anything, but obviously I don't get work done on my face. I'm not judging, it's just, I guess I just feel secure enough as a woman that I don't need to inject poison into my head. But that's just me.
Well, it's a nice night to judge.
There we are, the ladies in Cougar Town on the demo of Botox, but there's a serious point to all of this. Brenda Power, writing in the Sunday Times last week, talked about the battle against aging is the trench warfare of the 21st century civilization. She joins me in a moment. I'm also joined by Dr. Vivian Dillier, psychotherapist and author of Face It, What Women Really Feel As Their Looks Change. As their looks change. Brenda, I thought your piece in the Sunday Times was very powerful. You say previous societies and cultures venerated the old for their wisdom, but these days they're more often seen as a burden we resent carrying and we want them out of the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I was writing in response to, I suppose, those figures that came out from the HSE actually last week and were endorsed by Age Action Ireland about the levels of elder abuse. Which is another way of saying the amount of people, and most of them family, who are beating and intimidating and terrorising and in other ways subjecting old people to a kind of cruelty that really has no place in a civilised society. And I was trying to figure out where has this attitude to old people come from? Because, I mean, there certainly would have been a time in Irish society when the older people would have been seen to be a source of wisdom. But now that is no longer the case, of course, because they don't Google and they're not on Facebook and they're not going to text you and they're not seen to have anything to contribute. And that's my conclusion. But what prompted my sort of thoughts too in that whole area was I was at the Gaiety Theatre last week and I saw Cliff Richard there in the flesh. Now, Cliff Richard, I discovered when I Googled him, is 70, and Tom, he looks 40.
Brenda, you went to see Cliff Richard. You're definitely getting old, Brenda.
I didn't go to, no. I went to see The Importance of Being Earnest.
He was there, of course. Yes.
But ironically,
yes.
I mean, the ironic thing is, because this is by Oscar Wilde, and he also wrote The Picture of Dorian Gray, which I also saw recently.
Of course.
And, you know, the impact of that story is lost now, because in those days, you know, people wondered how Dorian sold his soul to the devil because he looked young when everybody else aged. Now you just say, well, he must have a very good plastic surgeon. And where did this complacency, I suppose, about people looking improbably youthful come from? Because we've come accustomed to it. You don't look twice at a 70-year-old who looks 40 anymore.
I go to bring in Dr. Dillier in a moment, but Brenda, my instinct is that this comes from a consumer culture which only values young, sexy, beautiful, and only represents older people as dependent or in the way, or you can flog them something.
Exactly, and why is that? Why have they lost that cachet that older people would have had, and still do, for instance, in Japanese society? And I think it is because we're so pleased with ourselves, we're so convinced that we have all the answers, and society has moved at such a pace, because I'd say, you know, somebody 100 years old now has seen changes in their lifestyle, in their lifetime, that just wouldn't have been mirrored in any other century.
Okay, Dr. Dillier, why do you think it is?
Well, I was going to say, if I wait too much longer, I'm going to age while I wait.
Sorry about that.
But I'm listening with great admiration, by the way, to your article. I think it's wonderful, and I would like to sort of share this here in the States, because I think the statistics you raise about elder abuse paralleled with the statistics that I see in the increase in plastic surgery. There's a 457% rise in cosmetic procedures in the last year. I'm talking about both plastic and non-invasive. That tells us that people think the solution to avoid this invisibility is to go back and look younger. And I don't think it actually is a solution. So my research and book has been an attempt to get people to understand that the way to remain visible is actually our responsibility to be vital, engaged, and healthy as we age, because we're living much longer lives. Mm. And years ago, not that much longer ago, our life expectancy was so much shorter that we don't have a lot of role models for what it means to be vital after the age of 50 or 60. So we I actually believe it's our responsibility, those I'm in my 50s, that we have to show how, as you move into your 60s and 70s, to offer the next generation the opportunity to see how we can engage on the internet, be actively modern, and not go the way of it's all over, or reverse, which is not really possible, anti-age is what you see in the media.
Do you think, Dr. Diller, the crisis is greater for women because there's biological aging, and also we live in a society where many, many women in marriages are abandoned in middle age, and men go off and find younger spouses?
You know, I think the media has had a lot to do with making women feel that it's a greater crisis. But men who I've spoken to on the radio say they're feeling the pressure too. They may feel it a little differently. Women may feel it that they have to recapture their youth in the way they appear. Men seem to feel they have to recapture their youth in their potency. I don't know how it is in Ireland, but here in the States, men are saying they feel enormous pressure to use drugs like Viagra and Cialis, even if they don't have a problem. Because they feel they have to sustain a youthful kind of potency. So there is pressure in for both men and women, and I'm asking us to think a little differently, or sort of approach this next phase differently.
Brenda, have you noticed that as one gets older, in the eyes of younger people, you become invisible?
You see, this is it. I just wanted to come back to
they don't even see you on the street walking past.
They don't even see you, but also, you know, Vivian said that we have an obligation as we get older to set an example, if I'm interpreting correctly, Vivian, to people who are approaching, you know, middle age and old age, that it can be vital, it can be engaged, that it can be involved. But I think, unfortunately, that's absolutely right, but I think the way that people interpret that is, I have got to look young. It doesn't matter that I look in the mirror, that I feel, get out of bed and I feel, you know, 40, I've still got to look 40, even if I might be 60. And I think that it's the pressure of the superficial to meet a superficial.
And there is, of course, another fear here, not just the fear of aging, but the traditional extended family is rapidly disappearing. So we're all heading for nursing homes, where our grandparents would have sat at the corner and been minded in their own homes or in their children's homes. Isn't that right, Brenda?
Yes, and I mean the fear in that.
And that is a frightening prospect.
Yes, you're an old person, you look old, you look vulnerable, you look redundant, you look kind of surplus to requirements. Nobody wants that for themselves. So I think, you know, I do think we're very glib in concluding that the only reason that people want to stay looking young is they want to remain sexually attractive and women want to hang on to their husbands. I think that's way too simplistic. I think it is more about fighting off this awful prospect of uselessness, invisibility in old age, in a society that just has no time for you. I mean, I was making the point in the article that you know, pro-euthanasia campaigners like Dr. Philip Nitschke have come into the mainstream to a large extent now. There's not, while there's an argument for euthanasia and for living wills and so on, you know, the embrace of this, the kind of toying with this by mainstream society seems to me to kind of betoken a sense that, yes, there is a point at which life has run its course and may be ended in everybody's interest.
I mean, at one stage here, at the height of our property boom, one building society ran a really vile television advertisement urging young adults to persuade their parents to cash in the equity in their homes so as to fund their children's mortgages. And some of those people may now facing ending up on the pavement.
Yeah.
I mean, this is sort of official abuse.
I don't want to sound simplistic or seeing life through rose-colored glasses, but I do feel, I guess, that my energy and our energy is best spent educating the next generation that we have a life ahead of us that may go on at midlife for another 40, 50 years, and we're not going anywhere. But it requires that instead of putting our energy towards going backwards, meaning trying to run that marathon or look like the 20-year-old or 30-year-old we were, we could put our energies towards taking care of ourselves, staying healthy, being active, being engaged, and letting that next generation know we have a lot to offer.
Yeah.
So I don't mean that this is a simple process, yeah. but up until now, there has been the tendency to see older people as having lived out their usefulness, and it's just not true anymore.
And I suppose in this, Brendan, motherhood's very important because the relationship mothers would have with their children would be entirely different to people who haven't got children.
Yes, yeah. I mean, obviously people's relationship with their mothers, regardless of your mother's age, you're always going to love her and think highly of her. But it's not so much in relation to your own family, although according to those statistics, most abuse happens in families and only 17% of it is reported by the families, which means people are turning a blind eye to abuse in different forms. But, you know, you kind of hope that your children will you know, show you as much respect when you're in your 60s and 70s as they do when they're kids. But it seems you can't rely on that.
Here in the States, Brenda, there is a movement more and more, not towards nursing home, but towards developing independent living. And I find, actually, the reports in those independent living facilities that there's a kindness between people in a way that families don't provide. So it's kind of an interesting thing to think of. Maybe there's a shift. Maybe it is going away from children taking care of parents. But maybe there's some positive aspects to that shift because these people who are living among other people their own age are learning how to take care of themselves better.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. You know, that's why I was interested, Tom, in coming back on your show because I find that the cultural differences are so enormous.
Really?
Like
what?
Well, you know, what I hear in what Brenda's saying is that there still is a, if I interpret it wrong, tell me, that there is a desire to have families continue to take care of elders and see the children as getting back to a responsibility. I don't think that's happening in the States here. I see there's a greater movement towards older people finding places where they can, before they're too old to do it on their own, settle themselves among peers. I talk to women in Asia where you say, you know, they say the Chinese revere their elders. You know what? They're telling me that's not true. That there may be this old saying that the they are revered, but the fact is they're put out to pasture. You know,
the Japanese have a national care for the aged day, which is a bank holiday, and I know the stock market closes down, and we have nothing like that, not even lip service. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. I would say that given the choice, actually, rather than feel a burden on a family who clearly often don't want them, a lot of older people would prefer to live in some sort of an independent existence among their peers where they're not made to feel invisible.
It makes sense, though, right? Because it used to be that if you were only going to live until 60, you know, you could have your parents at your home because you knew they were not going to be around. But now they could be around for another 40 years.
Right. Lending your inheritance, too.
Well,
lending your inheritance.
Ladies, thank you very much for this most interesting conversation. Again, my apologies, Dr. Diller, for keeping you hanging on. I promise I won't do it again. It wasn't my fault.
I'm glad to contribute. I find it very interesting what you have to say. So next time, call upon me.
All right, well done. Thank you very much. As always, Brenda, good to have you on the program. Thank you very much. You're listening to 4FM.